information to council regarding RV parks, manufactured housing, and the way that we assess and tax those properties. This conversation's come up quite frequently in recent days. We've actually had applications before council relating to properties in the Long Neck area, and I thought it was a good opportunity for Mr. Keeler to provide an overview and answer any questions you may have. Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. As Todd said, I'm here today to just give you a brief overview on campgrounds located in Sussex County. Current campground appraisals. All campgrounds are appraised per acre of land as well as per campsite. This method was established by the HLEO company in 1974 during Sussex County's last reassessment. Campsites are appraised the same regardless if they are transient, permanent, seasonal, or used year-round. A little appraisal comparison, campgrounds versus mobile home parks. They are priced in a similar fashion per acre of land and by the number of sites. Campground sites are appraised at a lower rate than mobile home sites. If we dig a little deeper into this appraisal comparison, on the left we have campgrounds and sites. Campers are classified as recreational vehicles and are not subject to property tax. Land at these campgrounds are appraised to values ranging from $1,000 to $5,000 per acre, depending on the location. Campsites are appraised at values ranging from $50 to $400 per site. And improvements to campsites, whether or not you have a shed, a deck, or perhaps a screen porch, those are charged to the owner of the campground. If we compare that with mobile homes and parks, mobile homes are subject to property tax by state law, Title IX, Chapter 83, under Delaware Code. Land is appraised at values ranging from $1,000 to $10,000 per acre, again, depending on location. Mobile home sites are appraised at values ranging from $750 to $1,000 per site. And improvements to mobile home sites, the sheds, decks, screen porches, and the like, they are actually charged to the titled owner of the mobile home. This next slide here is just the location of the campgrounds located in Sussex County. As you can see, most of them are located on the eastern part of Sussex in the resort areas.
Wow.
There are currently 25 privately owned and approved campgrounds located in Sussex County. As this slide shows, got listed the campground, the total number of sites, the appraised value of each campground, and the tax that they paid just this last year.
Does that include school tax?
Yes, it does.
That's so 80% of those numbers is, or 80, what, 80?
86.
86%.
86.
So a little over, so on the first one, Bayshore, we'll use that example, so what, $1,500 or less?
That would be correct.
Is what the county gets?
Yes.
From that. Interesting.
Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through every one of these, but I did include them with your packet if you want to take the time to look at those. Additionally, to those 25, there are three state parks located in Sussex County where camping is also offered.
They don't pay no taxes?
They do not. State-owned property.
State-owned property don't pay none?
That's correct.
Can I just interrupt here? The appraisal, way you do appraisal, you say the appraisal for campsite ground or manufactured housing ground. Mm-hmm. So you've got to say a manufactured housing park right next door. You have similar acreage, say 100 acres. Mm-hmm. They're appraised differently.
Slightly, yes. They're usually appraised a little bit less. Campgrounds are.
So the guy with just AR1 land, 100 acres, mm-hmm. Who's maybe just could be a farm, I guess, and nothing on it. Mm-hmm. So a campground that could have all these units on it pays less
than the mobile home park would.
Than a mobile home park. Okay.
Yep.
Or just a similar in an AR1 district, AR1 land in general.
Okay. Ag land would be much less than the campground. Yes.
Less than a campground.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. If we take a look at the different counties within Delaware, Kent County, there's one privately owned campground. The number of sites are not tracked by Kent County. However, on their website, it reports there are 16 cottages that have AC and heat, and they have 200 campsites. property houses a bathhouse, an activity hall where private functions are held, such as weddings. All buildings are taxed, but there is no appraisal for the RV sites. Going further to the north, there's one privately owned campground located in Newcastle County. The number of sites are not tracked by the county. Property has a row of motel rooms located along Route 13 with a campground located in the rear. It is currently vacant and on the market listed as an available retail space. All buildings are taxed, but no appraisal for the RV sites as well. Taking a look at other jurisdictions on Delmarva here, on the left, Somerset, Wicomico, Worcester counties in Maryland, they utilize the income approach to appraise their campgrounds. They also utilize the cost approach to value improvements there, such as the office, store, bathhouse. Campers are classified as recreational vehicles and are subject to a personal property tax in the state of Maryland. And the additions to campers, such as decks, screen porches, they are charged to the owner of the campground.
The first one there on utilize income approach.
Yes.
Basically, they're looking at the bottom line of the income of what
that
they charge.
Right. Yes, they receive.
And they have a formula based on that.
Mm-hmm. Looking farther to our south, Accomack and Northampton counties in Virginia, they utilize the cost approach to appraise their campgrounds, such as we do. The land is valued per acre and per number of campsites. Campers are classified as recreational vehicles as well, and they are subject to a personal property tax in the state of Virginia. Additions to campers, such as decks and screen porches, are charged to the owner of the campground as well.
Wait, I got a question there.
Sure.
Well, questions.
Yes.
Just go back to that slide. You said Delaware is similar in that it's the land value per acre and the per...
And the number of campsites.
So it's a...
It's both.
You hit them both times. You get
yes.
an acreage deal, and then if they have 10 sites on that acreage, it's 10 times that number.
Whatever
times
the value it may be. Yep.
Okay.
Is there a value of the campsite? What do we charge per campsite?
Campsites, they're appraised at values ranging from $50 to $400 per site, depending on where they're located.
So the county collects, say, $50 per?
No, that's what we appraise them as.
Right, we're not collecting any of that.
No. Well, it goes towards their appraisal.
Well, but those other numbers you saw, right?
The yes.
other numbers, right?
Yep.
But still, it doesn't add up to much. If there was 19,000 on that one, and 10% is going to the county, which is 1,900.
That's the same as.
So you say when you add
dwelling,
all
dwelling, yeah.
I know. It seems interesting. Okay.
Does any of this change with year round versus seasonal?
It does not.
So it's the same number whether they're going to be they're utilizing the sites.
Yep, we just charge number of sites. We did whether they're seasonal or year round does not make a difference.
And that is based on the zoning classification as a campsite, as opposed to some other type.
That's correct.
Quick question on the ordinance or the zoning, if I can, on differences between the mobile home / parks and then the campgrounds. Mm-hmm. Is there any language that we have that prevents or prohibits anybody from living there year round?
Janelle, do you know the answer to that question?
So the difference is. Go over this way. The new ordinance for campgrounds prohibits permanent structures to be there, with the exception of one, who is the maintenance person, and that is for campgrounds. If it's a mobile home park, of course you can live there year-round, but for any new campground, there is a limitation that there are no permanent structures, which limits that it is for seasonal purposes only.
Well, that's what the paperwork says. So in the reality of this county, is are we aware of campsites that have structures that are kept there all year round?
I believe in the past there have been some campgrounds that have turned into year-round campgrounds. And again, I think that may be one of the reasons why the zoning code was amended to limit that ability for any new
and
campgrounds.
What year was that amended in? Because that was the one that that was the only time we've changed it or attempted to do any changes since 1974.
There were amendments in 1992 and in 2010.
So because it is very likely that there are campgrounds that have structures that are there year-round.
Can I just interject one thing? The structures can be there. I thought you asked about living there year-round.
Correct. Well, I mean,
there's a lot of these structures that leave them there and don't stay in them.
Wait, a structure in an RV. You're talking about the RV is being left there?
Campgrounds, sure. Yeah, not the mobile home side. The unit itself.
Bathhouse.
As Janelle just specified, our code or ordinance does not permit them to keep a camper there year-round. They're supposed to haul it out. However, we all know that they exist, that they are kept there, because we get phone calls, and I know, George, you've kind of talked about this often. Here lies the concern that I would have. Is it possible that we have campers or structures that are in campsites, let me rephrase that, structures that are in campsites that are kept there year-round, whereas there are year-round residents to include kids that are utilizing our schools and services without actually properly paying for them? Is that something that is possible?
There is always a possibility that that could exist somewhere. Again, if we get a complaint, we do go look into it. If there's living where they're not supposed to be, we do go and work with them to address those situations.
Unless it's one of the older parks.
And again, there are some older parks that have become year-round parks, but anything going forward,
right,
it is transient and seasonal.
So I guess the question is, we could probably ask our school districts if they have any bus stops at the entrances of campgrounds.
But I don't know if we can do anything about it, really. But
well, I mean, we could change the code, how it's assessed, so the proper funding is there to help the school districts pay for the additional expense is something that we could do, if it's revealed that there is a real issue here.
Can I verify what I thought I heard? Mr. Arlette said that it was a requirement that the campers are removed.
No, there's no requirement.
I didn't think that there was a requirement unless in certain aspects, in recent times, we've required them through conditions.
Right.
But I don't think through standard zoning we are requiring these RVs to be removed.
In older parks, no, it just depends on what we approved.
And most of the older parks with the park owners, they make sure that it's seasonal by turning the water and electric off, so in campsite and campgrounds, to ensure that they are abiding by the county code.
The other thing I think we've just heard is when you add these additions and things that are, we're allowing this to these campsites, I guess it's permitted by code that somebody who's got a RV can get a screen porch or a deck or, right? I mean, this is, we would.
Zoning allows it, yes.
Right.
And that's only any new campground, they cannot do that because we don't allow permanent structures with the exception of one within the campground. So a permanent structure would be a deck or
right.
a shed.
But once we adopted that ordinance, it wouldn't go back ever pick up all campgrounds if we aren't allowing permanent structures in campgrounds?
There are certain ones that are grandfathered. Those old, there are many of the ones that I know there's been complaints back in the past were actually non-conforming, that they're very old.
Could you explain just one thing on something you just said? Explain to me, it must show up somewhere in our code where it references what grandfather means.
Sam.
Grandfather.
Not a grandfather of somebody, but grandfathering something. Where in the code does that specify grandfather?
Here comes
I know there's it refers to non-conforming. Many people use the term grandfathering, but it's a non-conforming, which is a use that was there prior to the adoption of our zoning ordinance or a change.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. Grandfathering is just sort of the common term for it, but it's a legal non-conforming use, and that's
non-conforming.
Yeah,
yes.
Legal non-conforming use, which means it predates either the zoning code or the changes to the code that affected it. So, which is the same thing as saying grandfather.
That means we can do as we please, right?
Well, you can do whatever was in effect prior to the change. So, yeah.
I think that's the word. We can do as we. This council of three people can do as they please.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, no, that's right. Three.
Well,
votes.
He hated to say that. That's all right. Go ahead.
No, I just didn't understand what your statement was. No, you're right. Three votes gets it done here on county council. So, yeah.
So, no, I was just going to.
Mr. Arlett.
I just, you know, they're not permitted, you know, as far as the decks and things like that, the improvements, as you earlier mentioned, on current or newly approved campsites, right? But I know from a discussion we just had, I don't know, 2-4 weeks ago here in this very room, there, once a violation is found, there's also no penalty. So, I mean, that was discussed here, if I recall, and if somebody's found in violation of something, there is not a penalty other than you need to get a permit, get a proper approval of something.
There is a penalty, and it's double the permit fee.
So is that different than what we discussed before? It is different.
I can't recall what we discussed before, which case you're referring to. I know there's been some cases. Matter of fact, I think one of the discussions was on the special events ordinance. Some questions came up when Mr. Robertson was at the podium as to what kind of enforcement was available there, and he was concerned with enforcement. I don't know if that's what you're discussing.
Todd was about to, I think he knew what I was referring to.
I recall what Mr. Arlett was talking about, and that was a broader discussion about improvements not being picked up because people had not come in and gotten the proper permits prior to,
right. And
what our fine process was. Staff went back and reviewed that situation. In fact, what Mr. Killer was getting ready to state is the current rules that we have, which is double the permit. So will you explain that to council, Chris?
So this is new?
No.
It's not new. It's just better, accurate information.
I can't remember which year it was adopted. Previous to the double the permit fee was a $100 charge for a late permit. But what we found was people were starting to build dwellings and they're like, $100, I'll take the chance on that. So I don't remember if it was, I don't know if you remember ever, it was a 2006, 7, sticks in my mind, that they adopted the double the permit fee for those in violation.
That's everything, or
that's
is that
everything.
Just
yep,
mobile.
That's whether it's dwelling, deck, yes,
okay.
Shed.
The only observation I'm kind of making from, you know, campgrounds as I've looked at them over the years, they are a business. It's a big business, many of them. Public safety is so important, what we charge or we provide to the citizens of Sussex County. And I know if you have a subdivision, those people are paying, you know, property taxes every year, and that's going in to help pay for this. Manufactured housing parks do that also. When you look at some of these campgrounds that have maybe 1,000 units in them in the peak season, when we have paramedics going into those places, we have probably the fire company, many services having to be provided. They're on the roads, they're using everything, they're creating, you know, tremendous amount of waste that goes to our landfills. And yet, when I look at some of these appraised values and the tax that we're getting, I personally have one building that's paying what they're paying. And they may have 900 units. There's something not right with it, and I think we ought to, you know, try to make the playing field a little more fairer to, you know, to everybody and help the, you know, because these costs, as we go into the future, everything's getting more expensive. And they have a tremendous impact, and you can see the numbers that we have here in Sussex County, and most of those are probably coastal Sussex County. And I'm just, you know, I just think there's some room for improvement on what we do. And then looking at, like you say, what we allow, permanent structures, transients, how long they can stay, and things like that. I don't think we can address school district, and if a kid gets off the school bus, I guess that's a school district issue. It's not a zoning violation. So, you know, I don't know if we can address things like that. But there's some things we ought to be looking at, I think, in addressing what we do. And I don't know if anybody thinks it's okay the way we have it. If three of you think it's okay, we move on, or if there's room for improvement.
Well, it would,
again, public safety, I think, is critical in this county, and only getting much
under more current problem. Law. We're doing all we can to.
Well, I know. No, I'm not, and I'm saying what we need to look at as we look at these others. We've looked at special events. We're looking at these other things that have been on the books for so many years. And it might be nice to address some of the issues right now. And we've had some major, and the campground industry has changed dramatically. We're seeing them now where they put amenities on there, and the amenities are open to the public. You know, we don't have anything addressing that. So normally, I think in the past, any amenities on a campground were for the people who were staying there, the camp store, or the pool, and this and that, or if there's a, you know, now we're seeing things like with bars, you know, serving alcohol, attracting people to come in from off-site to come into this thing. So they're all of a sudden now being a magnet for additional traffic over and above the X number of units that are there, and they're going back and forth. So we've added more problems to an area, and I don't think that was our intent. So again, I just would love to see the council take a position that we need to get the staff to look at some of these issues that are.
Well, there are certain impediments also of a state law that we have, and the county is doing all that they can do under the state law as well. And, you know, the ultimate change is a countywide reassessment, because you definitely have to assess and tax everyone the same. Each category has to be a fair across the county level. Frankly, I was unaware until I saw this report that there was actual special assessment for each lot in a campground. And we do, but we cannot assess for the units, the personal property in there at all, because it's not permitted under state law. So Sussex County is doing not only charging acreage, but also the individual lots, plus including the improvements assessing to the campground owner, is doing currently all that we can unless we take that big step.
So one last question, Mr. President, just kind of big picture. So in summary, there's 25, I think you mentioned, campsites approved that we know of. Is there some out there that we don't know about, I guess?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, I saw the word approved, so maybe that means there's something out there that's not approved. But 25 sites. Of those 25 sites, what is the total number of campsites that we have in this county? Do we know that number?
We could add up all those totals, I guess.
Yeah, if you added up all those, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't
know. Do we know? I mean, just without adding it up,
Gina's,
I guess.
Adding.
Is she adding real quick?
Trying. Yeah.
Okay, as she's adding, I'll pose the bigger question, and that is, have we as a county seen the use of these campsites change and evolve over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years? Have they changed? Have they evolved as far as the use of them and the intended use of them? From your perspective.
I think, like one of the councilmen said earlier, that you do see different things, people offering, you know, whether it's the hall for weddings or things of that nature, for people to come in from the outside and use those. Typically, you didn't have that in the past.
So. And the other thing is we didn't see until just a number of years ago, and IG probably remember, but we saw them go from being the transient sites. Mm-hmm. To all of a sudden they realize, hey, a seasonal site, I don't have to put up with all the headaches. So some of our prime campgrounds that were in great locations that were really appealed to the family coming in from out of state or something, wanted to spend a couple days, right? All of a sudden they weren't available. So then that's why I think you see so many other campgrounds have moved back in. And then even some of those have gone to seasonal sites. So we've turned in to a lot of our campgrounds into like permanent housing, a second home for a certain element in the camping industry. And that's I think, been a major change.
I think we have a number.
I bet the state kind of forced us into this, because if you don't watch yourself, you have to go back and get tags every year or 2 years, and it's going to cost you a bunch of money.
So adding up the numbers there, we got 6,688 campsites.
Okay. So let me rephrase the last question. Earlier I had asked about it, if you've seen any changes from the campsites over the years. So we have two different categories of assessment, as you stated. You've got one for campers, right? And you've got one for the mobile homes over here, which i.e. Are, I guess in theory, stationary and year-round and potentially year-round. Are we seeing that from campers? Are we seeing campsites being used?
I think you see more of that, yes.
So you are seeing some campsites being used as
year-round,
as the same as the mobile home.
Well, Well, I see
parks.
A lot more just keeping their camper on that site throughout the whole year and not having to move it around.
So because of that, should we be looking at or considering adjusting how the campsites are being assessed to be more in line, to be more similar to that of the mobile home parks?
That's a decision for you guys.
Good answer.
It is. That's a policy question of the council.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The question is, you've helped me to better understand that there is a change that has evolved and they are more similar to mobile home parks.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the answer.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the park model, which is also like a mini mobile home, and they've got pop-outs. They've got this extension, got two stories. And that is and because the state, like Sam alluded to a minute ago, the state didn't know what to do with them, so they said, let's call them an RV.
Yep.
Because you need a special permit to take them down the road. RV, you don't. Your typical RV, you just hook up, boom, you're gone. Or a tent, folded up, you're in the trunk. The park model, which we've had to, I guess, consider under our ordinance, is an RV. And that's changed the complexion of a lot of these parks. So that's where you're getting more of a permanent housing appearance and use. The combination. So what you're saying is that the industry's changing a lot, and they found that they can come and have a second home in Sussex County, use it weekends, just like my neighbors down at the beach do. Maybe come stay a week or two in the summer, or whatever. It's getting the same use, but yet, you know, when the paramedics have to come, or the fire company has to come, or this has to come, or whatever, state police, county officials, or whatever. Anyway. Just some thoughts. I'd like to see us look at it. I don't know if there's any consensus to do that.
Mr. Burton.
I'm just looking at the two bottom rungs there, right? You have Massey's Landing with 322 sites paying $12,028, and you got West Bay with 82 that's paying $100 more. How's that math work?
Could be depending on what all is on those campsites, as far as the buildings, permanent structures,
acreage,
pools, could be acreage, yes.
Acreage is probably it.
Number of bathhouses, camp store, gotcha. All that stuff goes into.
And that's the dollars collected, not what we keep as a county, correct?
That's correct. That's
totally so 86% of what we see there goes over to the state.
That's correct.
Okay, and then I keep saying last question.
Charlotte.
So what is the percent, explain to me the difference between the assessed value or the formula for campsites versus mobile home parks? You said there's a difference. Is campsites 50% of mobile home park? I mean, what is the, give me an example or give me the formula there.
It just depends on what you priced them at back in 74 for the majority of them. Campsites range from anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 per acre, whereas mobile home parks are anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 an acre. Campgrounds 50 to 400 per site versus the mobile homes of 750 to 1,000.
And that's
site.
At 1974 values.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Got to be a genius to figure this out.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Okay.
It's not easy.
Any more questions, comments from council? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Mr. President.
Lighting. Mr. Cole.
Mr. Just on a final note, is there any consensus to get Todd to get this on somewhere on our radar screen as something we need, maybe a draft of some suggestions, but just get it back on the agenda for, I hate to see something like this. We talk about it and then nothing happens. So if we could just have a next step, maybe something, is any suggestion, Todd, from you that,
I would
you
say next step, if three people tell Todd they want something done with it, we'll do something with it.
Well, I mean, we could do it right now. I just, is there consensus to...
Not only agenda, have consensus, and run for a report.
Okay.
So I want to get off the thing here. Mr. Moore, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But if three of you, at lunchtime or whatever, anytime, call Todd, tell him you want to have it, we'll deal with that.
Certainly.
And there probably is three, I don't think.
Well,
I don't know that. Mr. Hicken, you're next.